35. Guerreros. He left the black-wrapped mattress on the floor, with his keys at its exact center, the toothbrush and toothpaste on the edge of the sink, the wire hangers on the old rack that concealed the bug Alejandro had shown him. He closed the door behind him for the last time and left the building, stepping out into a startlingly fresh, bright day, a new sun starting to warm the winter's residue of dog turds. When he reached Broadway, he bought a paper cup of coffee, black, and sipped from it as he walked, letting the rhythm of his stride find his sistema. He let himself be focused by his progress, his road. There could be nothing but the road until he had completed his task, even if he were to turn back for some reason, or stand still. The uncles who taught him sistema had themselves been taught by a Vietnamese, a former soldier, one who had come from Paris to end his days in the village of Las Tunas. Tito, as a child, had sometimes seen this man at rural family functions, but never in Havana, and had never spoken with him. The Vietnamese had always worn a loose black cotton shirt with no collar, untucked at the waist, and brown plastic shower sandals scuffed the color of dust in a village street. Tito had seen him, as the older men had sat drinking beer and smoking cigars, ascend a two-story wall of whitewashed concrete blocks, no more purchase afforded than the very shallow grooves of mortar between the courses. It was a strange memory, since even as a child, Tito had taken what he saw there to be impossible in the ordinary sense of the world. No applause from the watching uncles, no sound at all, the blue smoke rising as they puffed their cigars, and the Vietnamese rising like that smoke in the twilight. And as quickly, his limbs not so much moving as insinuating themselves into different and constantly changing relationships with the wall. Tito himself, later, when it had come his time to learn from the uncles, had learned quickly and well. When it was time for his family to leave Cuba, his sistema had already been strong, and the uncles who taught him had been pleased. And while he had learned the uncles' ways, Juana had taught him the ways of the guerreros, Elegua, Ogun, Oshosi, and Osun. As Elegua opens every road, so Ogun clears each road with his machete, god of iron and wars, of labor, owner of every technology. The number 7, colors green and black, and Tito held these inwardly now, as he walked toward Prince Street, the Bulgarian's technology tucked within its handkerchief into the inside pocket of his black nylon jacket from APC. At the very edge of perception rode Ososhi, the Orisha's hunter and scout. These three, along with Osun, were received by an initiate of the guerreros. Juana had taught him these things, she had said at first, as a means of more deeply embracing the sistema of the Vietnamese from Paris, and he had seen in the eyes of his uncles the proof of this, but he had never told them. Juana had taught him that as well, how the holding of knowledge in dignified privacy helps ensure desired results. He saw Bianca pass him on a small motorcycle headed downtown, the brightly painted mirrored helmet turning his way, glinting in the sunlight. Already Oshosi was allowing him a less specific way of seeing. The life of the street, its pedestrians and traffic, was becoming one animal, an organic whole. With half of his coffee gone, he removed the plastic lid, slid his phone in, and recapped the paper cup, depositing it in the first trash receptacle he passed. By the time he reached the southwest corner of Prince and Broadway, he was flowing with the guerreros, an alert and interested marcher within some invisible procession. Oshosi showed him the black-clad store detective with the bead in his ear, as Elegua hid him from this man's attention. Passing the thick frosted cylinder of the store's glass elevator, he descended the stairway built into the rolling slope of the floor. He had often come here to enjoy the strangeness of it, as of some carnival ride halted in mid-swing. The clothes had never appealed to him, though he liked the look of them displayed here. They spoke too much of money, to the street. They were clothes that Canal copied, anonymous in their way, but too easily described. He saw another store detective, white, in a beige coat and black shirt and tie. They must be provided with allowances for clothing, he thought, as he rounded a white modular wall of cosmetics and arrived at the men's shoes. The Guerreros recognized the stranger standing there, a three-eyelet black alligator Oxford in his hand. The strength of their recognition startled. Blunt and broad-shouldered, dark hair cut very short, the other, perhaps 30, turned, replaced the shoe on its shelf. 1600, he said, his English warmly accented in some unfamiliar way. Not today. He smiled, teeth white but crowded. No Union Square? Yes. At the north end of the park, 17th Street, the Green Market. One sharp. Don't show before then. If you did, he wouldn't be there. If you get within 10 paces and nothing's happened, break and run. They'll think you've seen them. Some of them will try to take him. Others will try to take you. Get away, but lose this in the process. He dropped the white rectangle of the iPod in its Ziploc bag into Tito's jacket's side pocket. Run for the W, the hotel on the corner of Park and 17th. Know it? Tito nodded, remembering having wondered about the name as he'd passed the place. Main entrance on Park, up from the corner. Not the revolving door nearest the corner. That's the hotel's restaurant. But that's where you're actually headed, the restaurant. In past the doorman, but then right. Not up the steps to the lobby. Not into the lobby. Understand? Yes. Through the door, right. You've made a U-turn. You're headed south. When you get to the revolving door, at the corner of the building, left, into the restaurant, straight through it into the kitchen, exit onto 18th. Green step van with silver lettering, south side of 18th. I'll be there. He turned his head as if scanning the display of shoes, most of which, today, Tito found very ugly. They have radios, the men who'll try to take you, and phones, but all of that will be jammed as soon as you move. Tito, pretending to look at a zip-sided black calf boot, touched its toe with his finger, nodding noncommittally, turning to go. Oshosi knew that the white detective in the beige jacket had been watching them. The door of the frosted glass elevator slid aside. Brother man emerged, tall hair streaked with copper, eyes glazed, gait unsteady. The white detective instantly forgot Tito, who crossed to the elevator, entered, and pushed the button for the 20-foot ride to the ground floor. As the door closed, Tito saw the one the Guerreros had recognized, grinning at the detective's approach to Brother Man, who was about to become abruptly sober, dignified, and firmly but courteously disinclined to be interfered with by a store detective.